Jackie, I have no sound.
You don't hear?
I can hear you.
We hear you just fine.
Danny, I'm probably going to have to go jump off. The boys are here and they're going to be running around and leaving. So I'm going to probably jump off and come back on later.
Okay. Can you hear us, Phyllis?
Guess not.
Okay, it's share screen. There we go. Have we got a bit nice picture? Thumbs up on the picture.
Yes.
Everyone's muted, so I can't see anything.
Yes.
Feedback here. Okay.
Got a map.
Yes.
We got a map here. Good. Recognize this map. This is from last week's parsha. As Yaakov is running home from Haran, he goes to Machanayim, and then Penuel and Sukkot, which actually I would argue is on the south side of the Yabok, and then he runs across at the crossing to Shechem. Ends up in Bethel. That's next parsha. But we're not talking about the parsha now, right? We're talking about David and his battle with Avshalom. David is running away. Avshalom is in Yerushalayim. He is now won, and he asks everybody, "Well, now what? What do I do now?" Ahitophel tells him, "You need to go wipe David out now." Hushai says, no, you need to wait. You need to gather an army. You need to muster up all of Israel, because otherwise David's going to defeat you. Avshalom listens to Hushai, doesn't go after David, and then Ahitophel realizes that he is dead, he's doomed, and goes and kills himself. That's where we left our story. Click that continues. Where are we here? Let me check. It continues. The David ba Machanaima. So here's our connection back to our parsha. Everything is always connected. David, in fact, runs through to Machanaim. So he's in Yerushalayim over here. He's gone west, run east rather. He's crossed the Jordan. He's run all the way to Machanaim, and that's where he'll establish his base on the other side of the Jordan. Avshalom abarat Yarden, and then Avshalom crosses the Jordan, who we call Ish Yisrael Imo, along with all of the men of Israel. This is one pasuk. This obviously takes a long time for this to happen. As Hushai said, we need to muster everybody up. So this is not something that happens overnight. So first, Ezdav is running away. We saw that last time he was in Bahurim, which is in on the west side of the Jordan. He got the warning that Avshalom's after him, so he crossed the Jordan, goes to Machanaim, which again was a city that was founded by Yaakov in last week's parsha, or yesterday's parsha, right? Vayishkem Lavan b'boker, Lavan gets up in the morning, v'neshek Lavan navel v'lotav, v'yberach etem, and he kisses his children, his grandchildren, v'yelach v'yashav Lavan b'kamo, and Lavan goes back to Syria.
Hello?
Hello? We're all here. Yaakov halach ledarko, and Yaakov continued on his way. Again, they met in Gilad somewhere over here, so they're heading south. The Yaakov is heading south because he wants to end up actually in Hebron, where Yitzchak is.
Where he gets what?
Yaakov is coming back. This story in yesterday's parasha, right? He leaves Lavan. Ends in Machanaim, and he wants to go back to Hebron.
Okay.
Where Yitzchak is. He wants to rejoin his father.
And it's so sad because he never does.
He does.
Oh, I didn't think he did.
Yeah, it's in Shishi. In so next Parsha.
Did mom pass away while he was gone?
Yes. Yeah, Rivka passes away.
You know he lost son there.
Rivka passes away in Chamishi, but they meet each other in Shishi. Wow. You have to pay attention. This next coming Shabbos, okay? You get all that together. But Yaakov, meanwhile, halach da'akov, if go malachel kim, and he goes on, he encounters angels as he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am, machan elokim zeh. And Yaakov says when he sees him, this is the camp of God. Vekrash him akumahu machanayim. So he calls this place Machanayim. Camp of the angels, camp of Yaakov, the two camps. And it's a place that's in the modern Golan Heights. It's defensible. That becomes an important point. This boundary here is the Golan. Right.
It looks pretty far east.
Yeah, it's far. It is far. I guess it's not quite Golan. It's south of the Golan. But it's far. It is far east. It's in the mountains.
It's is it within the? Is it in the Golan Heights we control or no?
I'm looking over here. I'm thinking the Golan Heights would be further north, right? Up by the
This is
modern Jordan right here.
You're right. That's definitely Jordan.
Yeah, so not quite the Golan. At least
where's the Dead Sea on that map?
Right down here.
I don't know. Then I'm not sure if it's Jordan yet. I'm not sure where the border is.
And the truth is we don't know where it is anyway. I mean, this is some guy's map, right? Yeah. We know it's somewhere between the Yabok River, which we know where that is, and the Euphrates, which is way up on top. So Somewhere in there is Machanayim. We do know it's somewhere it's isolated, it's defensible. And that because that was the same place that Abner establishes the independent kingdom of Israel. Remember way back at the end of Shmuel Aleph. Shaul dies in the battle of Har Gilboa. I remember where it is. And the Plishtim conquer Eretz Yisrael. They reconquer it, right? There has been an independent kingdom for maybe 15 years. It's always been a Plishti territory, and now the Plishtim have reconquered it. Avner, who is Shaul's general, takes Ishbosheth, the sole surviving son of Shaul, and runs him across the Jordan onto the east side and establishes the independent kingdom of Israel in exile. We talked about this was sort of like France after the Germans invaded World War II, that David is Vishi Yehuda. He is loyal to the Plishtim. Israel is under absolute Plishti control. And then on the east bank is the Israelite government in exile. Avner ben Ner, Sar Tzava, Asher L'Shaul, Avner, son of Ner, which we said was the Hebrew translation of Walkstock, so we like him.
I don't get that part. What's the wax stock and Avner?
Candle, right? Candle, wax.
The Midrash says that Avner ben Ner, so Ner is Shaul's grandfather. It's Shaul ben Kish ben Ner. Avner is his uncle. So Ner was called Ner because he used to make light candles and lights so that you could go to shul safely at night.
Yeah.
Wax stock.
They like to say that Wachstock, which means wax stick, which is the old German name for candle, was the same reason that our ancestor would light the lights so people could go to shul safely at night.
Nice.
Okay, so that's Avner Wachstock was Shaul's general.
Okay.
After the battle, Lakachet Ishbosheth ben Shaul. He takes Ishbosheth, who's the sole surviving son of Shaul, by Virei Machanayim, crosses the Jordan and goes to Machanayim. And from there, Vamichel El HaGilad, and he started increase his influence onto the Gilad, which is the east bank of the Jordan, El Ashuri, to Asher, and Israel, that's the central valley of Israel, and then Ephraim, El Binyamin, Bal Yisrael, Kulai. He tries to increase his influence over all the rest of Israel. But he establishes this kingdom in exile with its capital in Machanayim. Again, we have these kind of references to the beginning of David's reign, but this is in reverse. Ishbosheth was king in the east bank of the Jordan with the capital in Machanayim. David was at this point was king in Hebron and then moves to Yerushalayim. Now David is king in the east bank of the Jordan, capital in Machanayim. Avshalom was king in Hebron, now in Yerushalayim. It gets a sense of this chiastic structure, right? We're kind of going back to where we started from. Giving this, you get this sense in the text that we're kind of finishing the story here. And that this is the end of David's reign. We're going to start the next part of the cycle. We've seen this through Sefer Shoftim, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, that we have salvation, sin, exile. It goes on and on and on. Nothing will ever get better. It's very depressing. On the other side, on the other hand, we also see these hints that Hashem is going to save David here, because we see all these things that are switching in David's favor here. But we have this tension. We don't know where, if we're reading this for the first time, we don't know where this is going to go. It hints in the text that this could end up with David ending his reign in Machanayim, sort of going the same route that Shaul did and Malchut Shaul did. I'm going to have to start the whole story all over again. So we don't know. Spoiler alert, he does not fall in Machanayim. Okay? Even though we have that Avshalom Avar Tiyarden, Avshalom crosses the Jordan, we call Ish Yisrael Imo, with all the rest of Israel here. And clearly that's taken a long time. That was Hushai's plan. We talked about that before, that Hushai told Avshalom, Ki Atzti, I'm going to give you advice. Asof Yasef Alecha Kol Yisrael. You need to gather together all of Israel. That's the same language used, Kol Yish Yisrael. Midan Bar Bat Sheva, from north to south. Kekol HaShera Layam LaRav. Numerous is the sand. Right? We know that Bnei Israel is supposed to be that. Upanecha Holkim Bekrav, and you will go before them. Uvanu Elav. And we'll fall upon him. Bachat ha-makamot asherim tzashem. We'll go wherever he ends up. Even in Machanayim in the mountains, we can take it. But nachanu alav, and we'll fall upon him. Kasher yipol atal al-hadama, like dew on the earth. Just completely smother him. And atar bo, b'chol anashim asher ito gam echad. And there will be none left. That's our plan. That's how we're going to fight him. But how long does this take? It doesn't say in the text. Again, the text is just one pasuk. David goes to Machanayim, and then Avshalom follows. Yushalmi says it was 6 months, which I think it fits with the general sense of the text. It learns it from some subtle textual point that I want to get into. This is the way Yushalmi puts it in a halachic sense. Rachona Amar, Kol atad shisha chodashim, shia David borech mipnei Avshalom. That all 6 months that David was on the run from Avshalom beno, if you look at the halacha, the Torah says about a korban chata, when you bring a sin offering, there's a different offering for a normal person as opposed to the king. The Gemara there is telling us that during the 6 months, David didn't count as a king at all. If he had to bring a korban chata, it would have to be a seira like anyone else. He's gathering his forces for 6 months. The same time David is gathering his forces, we will see that. And we don't know what's happening during these 6 months. I assume there's some kind of uneasy stalemate happening between there. They're aware of each other. And then Absalom is now crossing the Jordan. He's going to attack his father. And he's got to set up his army. So this is the next pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin. Bet Amasa, Sam Absalom Tachat Yoav Al Tzava. Absalom needs a general. Yoav is David's general, and he appoints Amasa. Who's Amasa? We haven't seen him yet. But we're going to find out. Amasa ben Ish, and Asam is the son of a man, Ushmo Yitra, ha-Yisraeli, and the name of this man was Yitra the Israelite, Asher Ba'el Avigail bat Nachash, who came unto Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, Achot Shruya, who is the sister of Tsruya, Aim Yoav. So we're keeping this all in the family here. Okay, so David's general is Yoav ben Tsruya. Tsruya is David's sister. So Yoav is David's nephew. So Absalom picks another cousin, who's Amasa, the son of Abigail, who's David's other sister. Right, David, Yishai had two daughters in that list in Divrei Yamim, Tsruya and Abigail. This is now, Amasa is another cousin, it's Abigail's son. And it has all these identification points, Ben Ish, Mo Yitra Yisraeli, Shabana, Abigail Nachash, and it's all very weird, right? He's a Ben Ish, what does that mean, right? We're all sons of men, right? We call his father's a Yisraeli, which sounds pretty uninteresting if you're living in Israel. Is mother's identified as Abigail bat Nachash. But we know David's father's name was Yishai. So where does Nachash mean here?
Oh, a different Abigail. That's why
But she is Abiga is the achot of Tsruya. She's clearly identified as the sister of Tsruya.
Oh yeah.
Right.
But, so she's also David's sister, no?
Right, Abigail is David's sister, right? So the question is, what does this Bat Nachash mean here? She specifically said it's not another Abigail. It is Abigail who is the sister of Tsruya.
So is he like a half-sister or something from another mother?
Right, we have to look at that. We're going to go through these pieces here because clearly this all matters, right? We have to identify him very specifically. Why? So he is Amasa ben Ish, and Radak says, what does ben Ish mean? It means an important person, not just was born of man. Ritzonolamar ben Ish Gadol, that his father was important. Kmo v'chazak davita le'ish, like the plishtim tell each other, you need to be strong, be a man. So this guy was a man. And Mishpat Zahav quotes the Malbim, Katav Malbim, demalat Amasa, that Amasa's greatness in this pasuk. He was better than Yoav. Why was he better than Yoav? Yoav haya nikra ben Tsruya. Yoav was only named after his mother. Right? He was important because his mother was David's sister, Tsruya, this Bat Abishai. So he had yichus from his mother, Yoav did. Shaita bitoshel Yishai. That was Tsruya. Ilu Amasa haya gam ben ish gadol, that Amasa had the yichus from his mother's side, also yichus from his father's side. That was a big deal. I see that's the ish gadol, ben ish.
It's still kind of strange, yichus, to be an important person from his father's side who will remain anonymous.
Well, we tell him after, ben ish, right, the next part of the pasuk is Shmo Yitra HaYisraeli. So he's not anonymous.
Well, yeah. I never heard of him
okay.
before. Okay. Well, right. So emphasizing he is an ish, and this ish is Yitra. At least somehow that impressed somebody at the time, right? That's why we wrote it down. Amasayikam ish gadol, benosaf al yitob benashal avigal achot David. Even though, so he has yichus from his mother, yichus from his father. Sefer Kohelet Yaakov ho siflei mar, and another, I don't know what the Kohelet Yaakov is, but he adds the point. Sha'al mishenet kanazu. That this was typical of Avshalom, that he is relying on this thin reed, right? Mishenet Kana, his staff is just a reed. That's what he's relying on. They assume that David's success, that he's because of Yoav, and Yoav had great yichus. So he's going to get better yichus. That's how he's going to pick a good general. Whoever's got the best family. That's impressive. So he gets a more important sounding general, so he's got he's descended from an important person, and from his mother's father's side, Phyllis is showing me something here.
Some sort of
family tree.
It's hard to read, Bill.
You have David,
but it looks like they're all related.
Yeah, everyone's related here. We got Abigail, Amasa. They're all. We got David giving birth to Avshalom and Tsruya giving birth to Yoav. Right, this is all in the family. And that is.
It can't end well. Somebody's gonna lose.
Right. The one thing you learn about in learning Tanakh is the importance of family, right, and how much you have to love each other. And well, either love each other completely or make sure that the other person's completely dead when you kill them, because it'll come back to haunt you. Oh, hi, Susan.
It's so weird because, you know, the Bible starts with all this thing about how bad fratricide is and all this, and then here we are.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better. Right? Fratricide doesn't get any better. Well, this now is patricide.
Okay, right? That's also bad.
Well, we won't get to fratricide doesn't come until the beginning of Parshas Malachim when we have the war between Shlomo and Adoniah. So Avshalom is picking this general who's got this great yichus. He's his cousin, which are of the mother's side, but also has this ben ish. Right? Of course, Avshalom is the kind of person who's impressed by the external things, right? He's David's pretty boy. We had that from the beginning. Avshalom lo haya ish yafeh b'chol Yisrael. Avshalom was the most beautiful man in all of Israel. Halel ma'od, tremendously praised. Mikafra glov ad kodkado loya bomum. Bottom of his feet, the top of his head, he was absolutely perfect. That's what we know about Avshalom. He was great looking, and that seems to be Avshalom's biggest sticking point. So he's going.
Isn't that like his dad? His dad was also supposed to be beautiful.
Yes, but he had that. But he has other qualities besides being good looking.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay? But we don't know anything else about David besides about Avshalom besides his looks. That's a sense in the text that that's all he's looking for. So here he's picking his general based on Yichus. And similar thing, his father is Yitro HaYisraeli. And we know that's not his real name because we can look in Divrei Yamim, which has a whole family tree of David in Perek Bet. Divrei Yamim, it talks about Yishai has seven sons and two daughters, Churia and Abigail. The children of Churia were Asahel, Yoav, and Avishai. And then Avigal Yeldad Amasa. Avigal had a child named Amasa. That's where the name is. But Avi Amasa, and the father Amasa, was Yeter HaYishmaeli. That's what he was known as, Yeter the Yishmaelite. So Red Doc says, you know, here he's called Yisraeli. Divrei Yamim is Yitra Yishmaeli. Yisrael Haya, he was Jewish. Elashagar Be'eretz Yishmael. The usual understanding of these kind of terms is not that they're geographic. He lived in the lands of Ishmael, somewhere in Arabia. And Lefichach Nikra Yisraeli Bishmeli, that's why he's called both Yishmaeli al-Girut. He's Yishmaeli from where he lived. Yisraeli Yishmaeli Yachshav Adam Kihu Yishmaeli. And here he's called Yisraeli, so no one should ever think, even though he was called, his real name was Yetri Yishmaeli, no one should think he's really from Ishmael. He's got good Yichus. Okay, again, the public example, he's got good Yichus. He really is a good Yisraeli man, an important person. I don't know why he was important, but text tells us he was in Ish. And the similarly, the pasuk is calling Amasa's mother is, we had over here, Shebal Abigail Bat Nachash. His mother is Abigail Bat Nachash. We're saying that's also kind of a nickname. This is Radak again. Shebal Abigail Bat Nachash. Hu Yishai. Nachash is Yishai. Ushnei Shemot Hayula. And he was called by two different names. Yishai and Nachash, Ukumo Rabim, that happens all the time in Tanakh. You may have a name and a descriptive name. But Nachash doesn't sound very positive. Why would you call Yishai the snake? Okay?
Slytherin.
There you go. And he adds a point, but Tom, when the pasuk says, doesn't say he was married to Abigail. It says this, Tom, where it says, Asher Ba'al Abigail. Tom Asher Ba'al Abigail, Blomar Isha Abigail. Efshar Asher Ba'al Le'a Kodem Shiyisna'ana. They weren't married. We have this little thing, like Sharia, we have no idea who Yoav's father was at all. We at least know who Amasa's father was, but they were not married. Asher Ba'al Abigail. Yaldal Amasa Lefich Amar Ashaba. Brazal Darshu. So Chazal and Gemara and Sanhedrin says, why was Yishai called Nachash in this sentence? Lefichach Nikra Yishai Nachash. Why was he called Nachash? Lefiche Mek Blo Avon. Because Yishai died without a sin. Beitav Shel Nachash. Literally in the by the pen by the decree of the snake. He died by the only reason the Yishai died because of original sin back from the whole snake and Chava story. The Yishai was perfect in terms of his own personal characteristics. He never did any averot that would warrant death, but all human beings die. So that was Nachash. Right? That's when death was declared for Adam and Chava. And Yishai never had any other sins.
Why that never? Sounds positive.
That sounds Nachash, right. So Nachash there is positive. But Oni Aviz, the Radak says about his father, this is Moshe Kimchi was the father of David Kimchi, he was a commentator himself in the Torah, and he had a lot of, but his son, the Radak, quotes him all the time. But Donid Avi Izal, and my father, blessed memory, Peirish, explained, Hikro Nachash, lefi sheyatzu mimenu tzifa onim, that he was called Nachash because his descendants were snakes. Shehargu b'mota alam, they were powerful soldiers, right? That Nachash here means, I'm going to see if I can find this. Egg. This image of Yishai as the snake, the ancestor of all these soldiers here. This came from some video game here. And let's see if it loads. Be faster than that. There you go. There's an image of Yishai the snake. Tough.
Are you curious?
There you go. Well, that's the image of that's the Radak's father is saying. That's why he's called Nachash, because he is the ancestor of all these Tsiphonim, all these poisonous snakes. He's the ancestor of David, of Amasha, of Yoav, Avishai, right? That's the implication that he's learning, that he's called Yishai was nicknamed the snake, you know, and in a positive way, but in a more violent way, right? Shahargu b'mota olam. There, stroke, right? And then there's another interesting interpretation from Bazak at the Gush, who says, Hezbar Karovia Telupsha. So the explanation I think is most close to the Psha. Madua Nikra Yishai Gam Nachash. Why would Abigail's father be called Nachash? Yishai called Nachash. He tamed himself Bishmo Shel Achad Me Avot Avotav. Because he's coming from his ancestors. Amufusar Mim Shel Yishai. Who's the famous ancestor of Yishai? And that was Nachshon Ben Aminadab.
Oh, that's positive.
Right. So that Ben Nachash means a descendant of the original Nachshon. So he's a Nachshoni way of reading that. But all of these are, however you want to understand that, we're all emphasizing Amasa's grandfather, and it's Abshalom's grandfather too, obviously, was so righteous, always so tough, descended from the first Nesi of Yehuda. It's emphasizing Yichus here. It's the family connection that Abshalom's looking at. The text is pointing out that he picks Amasa because of his family connection. There's no sense that Amasa is actually capable of leading a battle here, which is really what you want if you want to get for your general here. So I'm just looking at this very superficially. So the truth is he is, and Perek Yotet, he will be hired by David after this whole battle is done. That would be one of David's generals. But there's no sense that Avshalom cares or is thinking in those terms at all. Avshalom is looking at his father, Amasa's father, his mother, his grandfather, he's looking for the family connection. Yeah, not a bad way of looking for a shidduch, but we should actually look at the person himself. So that's Avshalom and his army and his general getting ready to attack David. David, meanwhile, is in Machanayim, and he's getting support from the local people around him. Back in the pasuk Chavzayim, Ahi kavod David Machanayim, and when David came to Machanayim, Ushvi ben Nachash, Mirabat b'nei Amon, and Shvi, the son of Nachash, this is a different Nachash. Nachash was the previous king of Amon. Shvi ben Nachash from Rabat b'nei Amon, which is the modern Amon. Umechir ben Amiel, Mulo Davar, and a guy named Mechir ben Amiel from a city named Lodavar. Kind of city I want to live in. I live in nowhere.
I would buy a ticket there.
Yes, I looked at this. There is a city of nowhere in Oklahoma. That's Mechir ben Amiel. He's living in the middle of nowhere. Ubarzilai haGiladi and Barzilai from the Gilad, Miroglayim from a city called Roglayim. These three people came, and they bring stuff. They bring Mishkav. I'm gonna have to bring this in so I can see the Nikud here. Here we go. I guess we missed a pasuk here. There's another pasuk here. Vayichan Yisrael b'Avshalom eretz Gilad. Yisrael and Avshalom are in the Gilad. And Vayi kavod David Machanayim. Let's go to the translation here. Uh, He brings mishkav, translated beds, sapot. He translated basins here. I translated general utensils.
Ukli. I thought sapot were like pillows or something.
Yeah, kli is the basins.
The couch's basins. He's translating kli yotzer as earthenware. I translate kli yotzer as being tools.
No.
Mishkav sapot kli yotzer.
Sapot are couches.
Okay. But then what's mishkav?
Could be.
I was saying mishkav is a sapot. That's why I thought it was like a bed and bedding.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, I wouldn't. I'm not going to go with their translation. Okay, it's bed and bedding. That's good. Kli yotzer and tools. V'chitim and wheat. I go okay. That's fine. Usa'arim and barley. But kemach b'kali, I think, are describing the kli chitim usa'arim. Okay, both as flour and as part dried grains, whole grains. Upul and beans, vadashim and lentils. The kali, and again describing the pool and adashim as both beans and the dried beans. Kali means parched, dried beans. Okay, this is the word for this is pulse. I learned that for the beans that you could mash up and use as your.
Oh, you know, it's a popular hummus kind of food.
Yeah, I thought it was like a dark bean.
On the stands in Israel.
Yeah.
The mashed, very black bean. Food.
Which one? Pool.
Hummus, yeah. And then it's a topping for the hummus.
The pool is a general term in the Gemara for beans.
Beans,
any like mashed up beans, like maybe black beans.
Yes.
There's some sort of
refried beans. That's so it's refried beans, hummus. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Take your beans and you run them through the blender. So that's the sort of things they're bringing. Udavash v'chema, and honey and butter. Okay, some dessert. Vitzon and sheep. Ushafot bakar, which is translated as cheese. Cheap cheese.
Oh, so it's...
The word gvina appears only once in Eov. This seems to be a more common word for cheese. So all this stuff, higishu David ulam. They brought, all these three people brought this to David and the whole people. Asher yito, they're with him, lechol, for food. Ki amru, because they said, am ra'ev, people are all hungry, vayev, and exhausted, and tired. Vitzamei, and they're thirsty, bamidbar in the wilderness. So David now has gotten food. Let's go back to my list over here. He's got food, he's got bedding, his people will survive. They have tools. And who are all these people? Right, we've got Shvi ben Nachash, Mirbat ben Hamom, Yachir ben Amiel, Melod Davar, and Barzilai Gildi Meraglayim.
So it's just those three? Or they came with an entourage?
We're assuming lots of people came. These are the three we're mentioning here.
Oh.
Okay, because he's going to, by the time we get to the end of the parak, he's got an army of thousands.
Wow.
Okay? People are still loyal to David in this. So who is Shvi ben Nachash? We know who Nachash was. Nachash was the king of Ammon, who originally attacked Bnei Israel. That was Shaul's first big battle. When Nachash was threatening Yavesh Gilad, Shaul saves him, and so they say, oh, you're a great king, we love you. But relevant to our story is back in Perek Yud, leading up to the story of Bathsheba. Vahi Achrechen, and it was after this, after all of David's wars with Moab and Edom and Aram, he doesn't go to war with Ammon. He's going to make peace. Vayomer Melech Bnei Ammon, and the king, after all of his wars back in Perek Yud, the king of Ammon dies. Vayimloch Hanun Beno Tachtav, and his son Hanun becomes king. Vayomer David, so David says, Esa Chesed im Hanun Ben Nachash. I'm going to do some good with Hanun Ben Nachash, Kasher Asa Eviv Imadi Chesed. Just like his father Nachash was so wonderful to me. And again, we talked about it when we looked inside, that we don't have any story about what the good that Nachash, the king of Ammon, did for David. We have the Medrash that the king of Moab killed David's family, and the king of Ammon, Nachash, saved one of his brothers. But David says, okay, that Nachash, the king of Ammon, was good for me. I'm going to be Menachem Avel to his son, Hanun, the son of Nachash. Vayishlach David l'Nachamo. David sends a delegation to be Menachem Avel to wish good wishes to the new king, Hanun. Biyad Abadav El Aviv, in the hands of David's servants, about Hanun's father, Nachash. Vayvo Avdei David, Eretz Bnei Ammon. So David's men come to the land of Bnei Ammon. Vayru Sarei Bnei Ammon El Hanun Adonaiham. So the ministers of Ammon say to Hanun, who's their new king, do you really, this is a rhetorical question, do you really think David is coming to honor your father? He's sending you consolation. He's sending them to spy. They're looking at, they're going to investigate the city of Ragla, to spy in it, so they can overturn it. That's why David sent these people to you. They're spies. So Hanun, king of Ammon, Hanun ben Nachash, takes David's men, and shaves off half their beards, and cuts their clothing in half, until their seats, and throws them out.
Was Madehem like a uniform?
Yes.
Madim or something like that?
Yeah. From the word midah means things that fit.
Oh.
You know, the sorts of clothing, right?
I love that.
The Kohen Gadol described as midobad. You have to wear his linen uniform on Yom Kippur.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, So Hanun humiliates, he doesn't kill them, he just humiliates them, shaves off half their beards, and then, you know, strips off half their clothing, split down the middle, and then throws them out of the city, and then David says, okay, well, takes them back, and then what happens after that is Ammon is afraid of David's reaction, actually goes to war against, preemptive war against David, and they end up with this massive war. That's a disaster. We end up with this quagmire outside of Rabat Ammon, and that's where Uriah is killed. That's the whole background to the story of Bathsheba, when the people are all in battle against Ammon after this incident, and David's back and is in his palace, wandering around on the roof, not going to battle. And we know what happens from there. Eventually, David wins. They conquer Ammon, actually enslave the people, describes them being put behind the saws and the tools and the axes. So here we have this Shvi ben Nachash, who's presumably the brother of Hanun ben Nachash.
And Ammon is what, Jordan today?
Yes.
Okay.
And Rabat ben Ammon is probably the modern Ammon.
Interesting, yeah.
So this Shvi ben Nachash, as David's on the run, should hate David. But instead, he's actually supporting him. And in fact, the Midrash says that this Shvi ben Nachash, in fact, was Hanun. He's called Shvi because he did tshuva, midrashically. He doesn't hate David anymore. He's sorry, and then he's bringing all this stuff to David to support him. So that's the first one. The second person there was Michir ben Amiel Milodavar. Who is that? We've seen him before as well. Previous parak, parak tet. When David is looking for any remaining survivors from the house of Shaul, connected to the story of the Gibbonim, who demanded their revenge against Beit Shaul, David allows them to kill seven of Shaul's descendants.
All right.
And then the king asks, "Bayomer HaMelech, ha'efes od ish lebet Shaul? Is there anyone left from the house of Shaul? Vesei mo chesed elkim, and I will do chesed with this one remaining descendants of Shaul." Bayomet Tziva. Tziva is Shaul's steward who is living in Yerushalayim. Bayomet Tziva el HaMelech od ben Yonatan nakeraglayim. Tells him there's one son left of Yonatan's, and he's lame. So the king says, "Where is he?" And Tziva immediately betrays him. Our friend over here. He's in hiding in this city in nowhere with Machir ben Amiel, this guy over here. So the king goes and sends to for Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan, from the house of Mechir ben Amiel from Lodavar. So this, we don't know anything more about him, but clearly he was hiding the remnants of Malchut Shaul, of Beit Shaul. And here he is now supporting David. Again, we have the sense that, okay, things are changing for the better. All these old enemies from Perek Tet and Perek Yud are now here coming supporting David. The third one that's mentioned is Barzillai HaGiladi, which is a little more subtle. Not clear who he exactly is. But we need to go back even further to get to find out what his story is. But let's go back to David when he's a young man who's just killed Goliath the giant. He's the hero, and Shaul promised that whoever kills Goliath will get to marry my daughter. Vayomer Shaul David. This is back Shmuel Aleph Perkinchet. Vayomer Shaul David. Hinei biti agadola Merav. My oldest daughter is named Merav. Ata eten lacha liisha. I'm gonna ota eten lacha liisha. I will let you marry her, Merav. Ach hayoli leben chayel, but you should continue to be one of my soldiers. Vilachem lachmot Hashem. You will fight the battles of the Lord. You're gonna marry you. David will marry my daughter, Merav. Everyone immediately objects. That's not who he marries, right? Who does he marry?
Michal.
Right. But Shaul Amar Al Tihi Yadibo, because Shaul was really at this point was jealous of David and figures I'm not going to kill him. But Tihi Yibo Biyada Plishim. But if I keep sending him out of the battle, Plishim eventually kill him. I'll get rid of him that way. So I'll marry him to Merav. But still, by he beit tit et Merav, but Shaul and David. But when it came time to give Merav, right? They're going to marry Merav to David, but yeah, he did not let Adriel Hamachalati Isha. And actually, she had already gotten married to Adriel Hamachalati. So, as it turns out, Michal has a crush on David, right? From she says that she loves him, so if Shaul says, fine, you can marry Michal instead. That's the story. But meanwhile, we have Adriel Hamachalati, who's married to Merav, the daughter of Shaul. Remember those names. Because what happened in that story where David gives up the descendants of Shaul to the Givonim, right? That we said was setting up for the story with Mephibosheth. Mekach HaMelech Shtei B'nei Ritzpa Bat Ayah Asher Yodah L'Shaul. So David is going to give the descendants of Shaul. So it takes two of the sons of Rizpah, who is Shaul's Gilegish concubine, at Armaniv at Mephibosheth. That's different Mephibosheth. Those are two of Shaul's children by Rizpah. But Chameshet b'nei Michal about Shaul, and five children of Michal, the daughter of Shaul. Michal was the one who was married to David, who the father said didn't have any children. Asher yodah le'Adriel ben Barzillai ha-machalati. That Michal bore to Adriel, that was Adriel, right? Ben Barzillai, that's Adriel's full name, is the son of Barzillai, Hamachalati, same guy. So somehow Michal has children by her brother-in-law.
Or maybe it's a typo and it's Merav.
That's possible, we don't like typos. Okay, yes, you could say that, but we're gonna use the text as it is. Okay.
Isn't that pretty sick, though?
What? The whole.
The brother-in-law married his sister too.
There are a lot of sick parts in here. This doesn't get any. This when we get to Kafala. There's no good parts in Parakafala.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Michal saved his life. He shouldn't have killed all our children.
Okay, right. I think we have to deal with it. We're not at Kaf Aleph yet. We have to deal with that in some detail, what that means, what exactly happened there. But name biyada givonim. So David gives these seven to the givonim. Vayaki em bahar lepnei Hashem, and they hang them in the mountain in public in front of God. Vayplushi v'tam yachad, and they all seven die. Vehema hemutu b'mei ketzir b'rishonim tchilat ketzir sorim. They die in the beginning of the barley harvest. That's significant because Ritzpa will watch them until the rain starts for 4 months. So everyone's bothered by this statement about B'nei Michal bat Shosh Yedah Adriel ben Barzilai. Right, how can they be Merav's kids? Clearly that was... How can they be Michal's kids? They're Merav's kids. So your answer, maybe it was a typo. We're not going to interpret in that direction, though, okay? Because this is the Rashi based on Gemara. B'nei Michal bat Shaul Asher Yadol Adriel. V'chi Michal Yalda, and was it Michal who gave birth to them? Hello, Meirav Yalda Lo. Clearly, these must be Meirav's children. Ela Meirav Yalda u'Michal Gadla. Meirav died young. Michal raised them. V'vichach Michal
Shema. How do we know she died young? Where, I don't remember
seeing it. That's the implication of why Michal is raising her children. Right? Neflirach Nikra Shema, that's why they're called hers. Megadel Yatom Bitoma Bitoch Beitok Ilo Yoda. Raising an orphan. Adoptive children are considered real children. Flat out, we've seen that a couple of times. This is one example that these are the children of Michal. Even though they're not biological children. Nikra Shemo, they're called by her name. But the point for our story is that this is that the father of these children who were killed is Adriel ben Barzilai. You don't know where Mahala is here, but if we assume that Barzilai is a unique enough name, that this Barzilai Hagiladi, who's supporting David, bringing all this food, is the father of Adriel ben Barzilai, then basically David has caused the death of five of his grandchildren, and he's still supporting David. So these three are making the point. Specifically, these three are ones that from the past, from previous in the Sefer, have reason to be fought against David, but still right now they're supporting him. David has managed to pull a lot of the country together. And this is where Rabbi Zak puts it. That the support that all these men brought to him, that not all of Shaul's relatives, looked at David cynically. We saw Shimon ben Gera was what was attacking him. Rabbi Mehem Davka Hariko at Zihirut Shinahag David before Doshel Shaul. Many of them looked at the care, they valued the care that David acted with Shaul. David did his best not to kill Shaul, to try to reunite the kingdom, the country. Even when Shaul was trying to kill him. And they did not blame him for the death of the house of Shaul. That happened in these various times and places. Not everyone blamed David. David had some support. That the existence of these people, he bitui sifurati, it's a literary expression, nosach tzidkat darchosha David, it supports the righteousness of the way David acted. This part of Shmuel Bet, we seem to see as David is doing everything wrong and everybody hates him, but we have these hints here that no, not everybody looked at him that way. Shemakakish lehavin gamet siyuto shel shuvi ben nachash David, and we should also understand Shuvi ben Nachash, who's not a relative of Shaul, but he's another old enemy. So real aniyah, it makes sense to say, Shuvi hu beno shel Nachash melech ben Ammon. Makes sense to say that Shuvi is the son of Nachash, the king of Ammon, we said that. So David bekesh ligmol chesed im Chanun beno, that David wanted to do good for Chanun, his son. Shlach elav mishlachat menachamim, al mot aviv. We quoted that, he sent the consolation to him. Zachor Chanun hitbonen b'macha vezu b'tziniyut, that Chanun treated him cynically. V'yashimet at hamishlachat nisyon migul, and accused him of spying. V'chein, so k'shem she tomchei Shaul ma'avim kan antitiza le'ashimi ben Gera. So just like the, I say tomchei, supporters.
Yeah.
Of Shaul, or the supporters of David, they're related to Shaul, are like the antithesis of Shimon ben Gera. There are these two different sides, and some fighting against David, some in favor of him. Shuvi ben Nachash, Shemarich et David Maseilo, so too Shuvi ben Nachash is antithesis of Chanun. Achiv is the antithesis of Chanun, the other Ammonites. So he's got support from the other nations as well. Kan mistayem haperek. Here is the end of the chapter. Yisiyumo hu chana lekrat haba'ot, and it's a preparation for what comes next. David mekabel siyua. David gets help. Motzelo makom mukaf bididim, and he has a secure place around, among friends. So from here on in, we can it will be the development of his final victory. David is in Machanayim. Avshalom is camped somewhere else in the Gilad. The battle is coming. And we'll stop here, and we'll look at David's army next time.
Thanks, Danny.
And Phyllis made the point of, I'd had two different nachashes in social proximity. Yeah, I know. I don't have anything to say about that, unfortunately. It's a good point. I'm sure somebody should say something about that, but I did not.
I'm sure snakes hang out together.